What's up, listeners? Happy New Year. This week, we're going to recap our holiday season with some tangents along the way, of course. We'll recite some obituaries for all of the NFL teams who failed to make the playoffs, and we'll reflect on the year that was with some 2020 hindsight. Lastly, we'll do a quick stump town, an angle from the outfield, and we'll give out our official rookie show playoff picks. Let's do it.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. What's up, Noel?
Oh, what up, Coin?
Oh, not much. Welcome back to the Rookie Show. After a very brief break, I'm your host, Elvis Coin, joined with me, as always, Travis Noel. How you doing, Noel?
I'm doing fantastic. It is the year 2020, as of about 16 hours ago. Feeling great.
That's good that you're feeling great. Many of you assumed correctly that I am indeed hungover today.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I went with a different strategy. I went to bed about 10:30 on New Year's Eve and woke up feeling good. I worked out today.
What? That doesn't sound like you. Are you doing a whole new me thingy? Or
I mean, to be fair, I worked out like 4 days ago too. So it's not really a New Year's thing if I started it in December.
Right. I like when people do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You just reminded me that this is the time when... Now I'm going to go to the gym and just be all pissed off because there's going to be people there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, this is. Do you know that they found there's like an actual date, like a median quit date?
Oh, really?
Yeah, wait, I think it's
how
like...
How early is it?
I think it's like January 23rd or something
Oh my gosh.
Is the median quit date.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
But I could see myself. I think that's probably where I put my own over-under.
The over-under on you. I'll give you till February 1st.
Okay.
It's like some people do dry January. You're going to do this workout January.
That makes sense. We're starting up basketball league in next week, I think, so that helps too.
Yeah.
I'll be stroking some trays probably. No?
That's your worst take of the year so far.
Well, it's my first, so it's also my best take of the year.
That's a good point.
How was your holidays? How were your holidays, I guess, plural?
They were really good. It was good to be home. I was back in Montana. It's cold as fuck there.
Mm.
Really, really cold. I watched my sister play some hockey. Freight train, as you coined her.
Is she going to... No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Is she going to get the first shout-out of 2020?
Nope.
Daisy... Oh, okay. All right, sorry,
fine,
Daisy.
You can give it to her.
No... No,
she's coin number two. Why would you give her a shout out?
Good point. The best coin has already received a shout out, I think.
Right. Did you see the video of Max showing my mom his new tattoo?
No, you haven't sent that to me. I'd like to see it. You should describe it to the listeners what this tattoo is.
It's just it's Boltman. I don't know if anybody knows who Boltman is, but he's this like Chargers super fan that Mac was telling me that. He just kind of decided to dress up as this guy and make himself the unofficial mascot and then spent like thousands and thousands of dollars on this outfit and then sued the team when they like decided to stop paying him for being Boltman. And I think,
how long ago did this happen?
This is like in the last, I think when they moved to LA or something, I think they stopped paying him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but so Mac has a tattoo with that guy's face and it says, "Legends never die."
I thought it was a skull. Like for some reason,
yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it's like a skull.
Oh, so he wears like a skull mask.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you know when you're a kid and you draw the sun and it has sunglasses up in the corner. It kind of looks like that.
Nice.
But it's cooler, Mac. Totally.
Mac, nice work. Don't ever change, Mac.
But we spent this Christmas with my grandma, who's old as poop. And if you want her to hear you, you really have to talk like right in her face. Mm-hmm. But I got tired of doing that like on the first day. So she would ask us questions and then I would just look at Mac and then just say whatever I wanted to say. Mm. And then when she would, if she like kind of heard me say something, I would just say nothing. So like she asked in the car yesterday, she's like, oh, what kind of fish were in that river over there? And then Tom like kind of answers, and I like loud enough for everybody else to hear, but her apparently is. I just was like, a lot of porpoise, moray eels. Sometimes the birds will just come up in the water. And she's like, what?
I had a similar encounter. We went over to Katie's grandpa's house, and he can hear pretty well. And he's pretty much all there. There was one instance though where, because he apparently came over to Helena to watch Katie play basketball, and he went to a Carroll football game.
Oh, and hell yeah.
He remembers that I was a running back by title. And somehow he got it into his head that I was like a fullback that used to block a lot. So he was like,
it's just, your
I went, I went to that game, and, you were laying some great blocks and leading for the tailback, but they just wouldn't give you the ball. I'm like, I don't know who you're thinking of, but I was on the sideline.
That was not me. If you came during the winter, I was in front of the heater. So.
Wearing a hoodie under my pads.
And then I was the first guy in the locker room for snack time.
That's right. Oh, snack time. Got to get those PB&J squares.
Yeah, halftime PB&J squares. The little, what are the bars?
Cliff bars.
Cliff bars and the banana thirds and orange slices.
For those who aren't aware, for those who aren't aware, and I don't know if other college football teams do this, I'm sure they do, but they pass out, you know, snacks at halftime for people to refuel, I guess. But it ends up being all the shitty players who haven't played a second that eat all the food, and like the starters don't actually touch it. But so Elvis started deeming halftime snack time. And so we'd just stand on the sideline for 30 minutes, head into the locker room, have a couple PB&Js and some orange slices, head back out, and cheer on the team.
And then just get ready to drink after the game. That was like the whole thing. It was just a sick cycle over and over. I then definitely led the team in PB&J squares eaten.
You might lead Carroll all time, do you think? All time leader?
All time leader in scout team receiving yards, because I was on it for 3.5 years, and then also PB&J squares eaten.
And then we'd go to the locker room after the game, and you'd come up to me and say, do you feel like drinking or going out tonight? And I'd say, definitely yes. We're going out.
And then
out
we'd go straight to the
face.
Store and get a bottle of Admiral Nelson for $14.95.
Man, reliving the glory days.
We should do that again.
We should.
Not the football part, but...
Right.
Snacks and drinking.
We could... You know what we should do is start when we watch a football game together, we prepare PB&Js and orange slices that we eat at halftime of the game.
I like
but maybe
that.
We drink the whole time, probably.
I like that. All right. Any hoosers. That was a good tangent, but...
Yeah.
Let's, one more note I have for my Christmas is that my sister started doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like families, they always, there's like a lot of sweets and stuff out, especially at grandma's house.
Yeah.
There was those boxes of like the See's candies. Mm-hmm. My sister does this thing where she goes into the boxes and crushes the bottoms to check what's inside the chocolate and then puts it back if she doesn't want it.
Oh my gosh. It's gross. She's a monster.
That's what I said. I've never seen anybody do it.
Wow.
And she does it with her gross little toe thumbs.
I can't decide if that's moving her up or down in the coin rankings.
If I could pass Daisy in this podcast, I would slander her to death.
I'd say you're 2B right now after that move, Daisy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, but you'll probably lose it. You'll find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, I know I will. Anyway, what about your Christmas? Anything notable?
My Christmas was great. Went to Spokane, spent it with Katie's family. Had a great time. They're big on playing games, so we just played a butt ton of games. Played some cribbage, played some Mexican Train. Mexican Train was a lot of fun, but that was definitely the game I had the least success at. I got smoked at Mexican Train. We played some Scattergories, we went bowling. I mean, overall, I had a pretty successful weekend. Yeah, I have a list. We played some cards. We played apples to apples. That's still a thing.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the non-dirty Cards Against Humanity.
Exactly. So I had a great time. I'd say notable for that trip was Mark, who's Katie's dad, cooked us dinner every night. So the first night we get there, we have steak, like prime rib, and it's awesome. Next night, crab.
It's awesome.
Next night, we have crab.
Crab rangoon.
Which is awesome. Next night, not crab rangoons. I had some panda the other day, though. And then the third night, we had, like, turkey, potatoes, and gravy. Mashed potatoes and gravy. And I was just in heaven for three straight nights.
That sounds hella good.
Yeah, it was really nice. And it was not cold. And weirdly enough, it was... My parents were down in Arizona for the holidays at my sister's house. And the day after Christmas when we got back, it was 59 degrees in Tucson. And it was 61 degrees in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. Hot it's been shy, really huh? warm. I don't know...
That sounds nice. It's super sunny here right now.
Yeah, it's sunny today, but it's cold in Chicago. So, but probably... Well, the two most notable things of the trip were... I got a Rookie Show t-shirt.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah, I was going to ask you what your best gift was, but it's obvious.
Obviously. Shout out John Esty, fan of the show. Actually, he admitted he hasn't listened to a lot of the shows. I think he's more of a fan of our Twitter account than our
reverse
actual
shout out, John Esty.
So reverse. So if you hear this, though, yeah, got me a t-shirt with our logo and the Rookie Show on it. It's pretty dope.
That's cool. I'm wearing it right now. It must be in the mail.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah. But most notably on my trip is... my movie selection on the trip over there.
Oh, yeah? Let's hear it.
I watched Hobbs and Shaw on the plane.
I knew it was going to be a goddamn Fast and Furious movie. Before he even said anything, I knew it was going to be.
It was not good. That movie was pretty much garbage. And
Who's worse between The Rock and my lookalike?
Oddly enough, Statham was worse. It felt like he was trying too hard. Like, right. The Rock, you know what you're going to get. He's a WWE guy. He's going to overact a little bit. But Statham was, like, trying too hard to be funny. Whereas, like, his role in some of the other Fast and Furious movies is straight villain, and he's just, like, the bad dude, and he comes in, you hate him. Mm-hmm. But now, since he's, like, a buddy cop movie, he's supposed to be, like, kind of funny. And it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work at all.
No, it's a no.
So, no Vin Diesel. I am officially out on Hobbs and Shaw.
Sad to hear it, honestly. I'm devastated.
Yeah, and I thought I would be high feed when he was like holding the helicopter and holding onto the truck at the same time.
I forgot about that, yeah.
It wasn't as hyphy as you would think.
I didn't think it was going to be at all, so I imagine it's pretty bad.
All right, well, I still give Fast and Furious 7 as the best Fast and Furious movie. And
really? Even better than 5? Tokyo Drift is the best one, so...
Hobbs and Shaw slightly edged out Tokyo Drift for not the worst.
That's so stupid. I just realized, though, that I am also wearing a shirt that was given to me by the Estes right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, shout out to them.
Shouts Debbie.
Shouts Deb.
Debbie! Well, Noel, it's sadly enough, week 17 has come and gone. The NFL's regular season is over.
Indeed. How about that? It went by quickly. It's sad.
It's weird how it comes and goes, and then we just spend another 8 months just waiting for it to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's quite a bummer. I'm excited for the playoffs. I think we got a good... But good on both sides. There's not a lot of crappy teams. Like, usually there's a couple of crappy teams that sneak in, but I feel pretty good about the teams that made it this year.
Right. Like, the Titans made it, and usually when that happens, they just snuck in as, like, the fourth, like, division winner, and they didn't deserve to be there. Right. But they're sneaky good, and they're kind of really fun. And a lot of the teams that are in are really fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then even you got the Eagles, who might be the worst team in the playoffs, but they've been there before. They're playing at home. You got Wentz, you got Peterson, so you never know. So better than the Cowboys. Fuck the Cowboys.
Yeah, seriously, fuck the Cowboys. So that being said, now that before we get to the playoff teams, I wanted to give a quick quick farewell to all the teams who didn't make it, in the style of short sentence obituaries, or maybe just a word about their season or what they got going forward. This is pretty up in the air. I mean, I gave you like zero guidelines for this.
I love it. I think we just need to close the door on the other, how many is that? 20 teams in the NFL.
Nice.
We
need good math.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, 32 minus school. 12. Yeah, okay. I'm ready. So how do you want to go through?
Right, I'll let you go first. I'm going to call out the team. So we split it up. You're going to take the AFC West and East and NFC West and East. Then I'm going to do the North and South for both.
Bingo.
AFC and NFC. Do you want to go one division at a time, or how do you want to do it?
Let's go. Yeah. And we'll do one conference. Let's do the AFC first.
Okay, cool. We'll go AFC first. Let's go the AFC West, Noel. How do you feel
AFC West
about the Chargers first?
the Chargers first, who were 5-11 and last place in the West. My closing obituary statement for the Chargers is Phil Rivers couldn't even dedicate a win to each of his kids. Five wins. What does he have? Nine kids? Nine kids. Whatever
four
it
kids
is, it's
or
not
left
enough.
One less. That's a bummer.
He has to be the only QB in history to have fewer wins than kids, right?
Jesus, I don't know.
Actually, that's not true. There's quarterbacks that have gone 0-16 and they probably have one kid. But right, regardless.
Regardless.
I don't know if any of you were fans back when we released like our first pod of the year, but I picked the Chargers to win the AFC. Not
we'll get
good.
To that in our worst takes later. I also made a very bad Chargers prediction, so...
Okay, that's the Chargers.
I like that. Short and quick. Did you see the video of Phil Rivers punching the guy the other day when he tackled him? It was really funny.
No. Oh, yeah. Just like give him a little jab. Yeah. Phil Rivers, you think he's... Well, we'll get to more Phil Rivers later, probably.
Okay. All right, next team, Broncos.
The Denver Broncos tied for second in the AFC West at 7-9. My obituary for them is... The Denver Broncos solidifying the is Joe Flacco elite conversation as a full-on joke rather than an actual debate.
That's good.
That's what's going to live on in my memory for this Broncos season. Flacco was just, granted he's old and he's past his prime, but he's just not good. And like he had that magical year, and hopefully people remember that as a fluke and not that he was actually a decent NFL quarterback.
Right. I really hope he doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
No
be,
chance.
I would be really, really fucking bummed out.
No chance.
He's I'd like if like to Peyton see Manning was just like way uglier and then not good at football.
Wait, what does he have in common with Peyton Manning?
They kind of look similar. He just looks like an ugly, like Frankenstein Peyton Manning.
They have skinny heads, tall
skinny
heads.
Yeah, they got the skinny, tall head, big forehead.
Yeah, that's true. Peyton seems to have more character, personality.
Right. All right, RIP to the Broncos. Yeah. And then finally for the AFC West, the Raiders.
The Raiders, the last time we will call them the Oakland Raiders, 7-9, tied with the Broncos as well. My obituary for them is the Oakland residents who are sad about the Warriors moving across the bay can take solace in knowing they never have to watch Derek Carr again.
Ah, the Derek Carr hatred continues. Did you see that? Did you see the stat about... you can say it.
Well, about the losses?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. So the two quarterbacks in NFL history with the most losses through five seasons are Derek Carr, who's second worst, and David Carr, who is first worst, his brother.
His older brother.
Biggest losers in league history.
What a bunch of losers.
I tried to think of a good play on words with Carr, and I really just fell flat on my face. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Broken down. Something
no car,
broken
no car
down.
Wreck. No, nothing.
Right. It was a car wreck, I guess. Car wreck is good. Just a car wreck.
Yeah. Car wreck.
Wreck. Pronounce that
car
W.
Car wreck.
Okay. So that's the AFC West. So let's do the... let's let you do a division.
All right.
Now in the AFC.
AFC. You pick.
Okay. AFC South. So let's go with... Start with the Jaguars.
So although there was much hype to begin the year, after a couple weeks, my Jaguars obituary is Gene Short, maybe not so Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. It was a fun ride. It reminds me of Linsanity a little bit.
It does. It does feel very Linsanity-esque.
On a
smaller
scale.
Do you think that, like, what's the over-under on years that Minshew's in the league?
I think it's good. Like, I think it's going to be like Lynn, where he's a solid role player. I mean, he's probably just an overqualified backup. I think, I don't know if they're going to roll with him next year, but he's probably not a great starter, but he'd be a good backup. He can come in and win a game when, you know, a starter goes down. So I think he's a valuable NFL player, but he's not a star.
Right. He definitely feels like a future Titan.
I could see that.
Yeah. Or maybe a Bill.
A Bill
like
or a
backup
skin.
Buffalo Bill quarterback. Skin. All right.
All right. I'll keep going. All right. So only one other team in the South, which is the Indianapolis Colts. What's their obituary?
Colts finished at 7-9, almost 8-8, which is my obituary is very short and sweet. pretty okay for a season that was lost pretty much. Like when Andrew Luck decided to retire, I think that Colts fans should be happy. It's yeah, pretty okay.
I would have, if I'm wondering what their over under was on wins. It was probably 6 after Luck went down, something like that.
Right.
So they probably went over that, but not bad. They got some pieces in place.
And it's a bummer that that's all it is, but it really, like, that's the only thoughts. Like, there was a stretch when the Colts were really fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're just okay. Just okay. And that's fine.
It's a good obituary.
Yeah. All right.
R.I.P. Colts.
R.I.P. Colts. AFC East.
All right. The AFC East. Who do you want to start with?
First team, we'll go... Let's go with the Dolphins.
The Dolphins. I have a lot to say about the Dolphins later on in the pod, but I went in a few different directions with this obituary here. So the Miami Dolphins of 2019, do you believe in Fitzmagic? The fish tank is half full. So a lot to ponder there.
Yeah.
Half full meaning they did a nice job with the whole tank thing, and they got a lot of hope going into next year. They got good young players. They were able to kind of evaluate like Devontae Parker and some of these guys they didn't quite know and then lock him up. So with all the draft picks they got, and yet they still have like a lot of these teams, if they try to tank, then everyone just views them as a dysfunctional franchise. But like, I feel like everyone has faith in Flores. Everyone has faith in the staff and the GM and stuff. So
right.
Overall, they did a really nice job. They didn't get the number one pick, obviously. But I think if I'm a Dolphins fan, I feel as good about the next decade of my team as, you know, half the league, I would say.
I agree. And especially with their last win against the Patriots is kind of a stamp on what they should be positive about going forward, is that this isn't the same Patriots team.
Right. Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Next up is the only other team in the AFC East not to make it, and I'm just now realizing they went 7-9, is the Jets.
What a weird season, man. Weird. So my obituary is weird coach, weird season, great unis. I don't officially...
What?
I don't like their colors. But
ew, their like unis their are
great. Yeah, they're great. They changed them a year or two ago. They're great. Every time they're on TV, I'm like, all right, I like the unis.
They get a thumbs down from me.
All right, well, I had to give them some credit for something. They, you know, they started like, I think it was 1-7. And finish 7-9, and that includes like a month of Darnold having mono. Like this, in I think if they replayed this season 10 times, they might be in the playoffs 3 or 4 times.
You think so?
I mean, you're telling me they couldn't have won 2 more games with Darnold not being out for a month?
That's fair.
So
yeah, what a weird team.
Yeah. They had a really easy schedule, which is the reason earlier in the year I picked them to make the playoffs, was because they had this stretch like mid to end of their season where they just played every single one of the worst teams in the league, including the Skins, who they beat. So
I can't believe they won 7 games, and that was with Le'Veon Bell essentially doing nothing.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, like, how many players can you name on the Jets?
4? Robbie Anderson is the first one I can think of. So
Jamal Adams.
Darnold.
And who did... they had Simeon come in for like a series and broke his leg. Yeah, and Luke Falk. Falk me up.
Yeah, Falk me up, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, weird team. I don't know. I feel like... And Gase is weird, man. I don't know. He says dumb shit. And I feel like he's a good X's and O's guy, but he doesn't seem to command the room very well to me. I haven't been in any rooms with him, but...
He's a good X's and O's guy. No?
No, I'm out of
like a cocaine
one.
Thing?
X's and no's?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I was out on it, so that dropped you back to coin number 3. So.
Damn it! All right. I'll work my way back up this pod.
All right, well, that's all the AFC East.
Yeah, RIP to the AFC East.
So the AFC North.
Ah.
So let's go with our favorite team, the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns, definitely the most disappointing team in the league at 6-10.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So all I have written down is fun times in Cleveland again. And it's just a link to the hastily made Cleveland tourism video. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yes.
That's good, the entire that's obituary. Good. That's just...
It's fitting.
It's tough. You guys are back to where you were. I don't know.
Bad spot.
It sucks. Yeah.
Really bad spot. GM's gone today, they said, so... At least they got rid of Kitchens, but I don't know where they go because that they need some men in the room. They got a lot of children.
They need some leaders. They need a Larry Fitzgerald type. It really does suck that Joe Thomas retired when he did.
Yeah, they need him for show.
Yeah.
Yeah. R.I.P. Browns.
R.I.P.
How about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Steelers. For everything you did, your season was okay, and the obituary is, thank God you didn't have Antonio Brown this year. That guy is a maniac.
Yeah, how about that? I wonder
what a nightmare.
Do you think they kind of like implode and do worse with him?
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably the same record, but it like
right. I think their season feels worse. Feels way worse. You're just dealing with this all year.
Yeah, I feel like overall, if you were a Steelers fan, you'd be encouraged about this year because Big Ben goes down first week. And you hold it together. You're in it until the last week. So
right.
You don't have a quarterback. Both Brett Mason Rudolph ain't the guy. Neither is Duck Hodges. So.
Nah, Duck. Duck's a fun name. It's not a fun quarterback.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's got a future in duck calls, not in throwing footballs. Yeah. I didn't know that was going to rhyme when
Steelers
I said
finished,
it.
That's pretty good. Steelers finished 8-8. I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
They finished 8-8, 3-3 in division, 6-6 in conference. Just average-ass team.
Average-ass team. That's what they seem like to me.
Yep.
Let's go to not an average team. The Cincinnati Bengals, who are on the clock.
On the clock. That feels good. That could be their obituary all in one, but I mean, at this point, they're not even on the clock. The obituary is just Joe Burrow with like 3 exclamation points.
Yeah. It's exciting.
That's exciting, especially, I mean, after watching him absolutely demolish Oklahoma.
He eviscerated them.
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do that well in a football game before.
I wish Oklahoma could have put up some points so we could have gone for like 12 touchdowns in a game.
Right, right.
He had 7 in the first half.
My God. Incredible.
What the hell? Yep.
He's good. I kind of was wondering if it was a little fluky, but that seems non-fluky now.
No, I feel like he's good.
Yeah,
he's good. I mean, his receivers are awesome at LSU, but, I mean, Bengals have some guys.
Boyd
is good. I don't know if they're going to keep AJ Green, but Boyd is good. Who's the guy they had? They had another guy this year. I don't know.
John Ross.
Yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah, he got hurt, I think, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Bengals.
R.I.P. I think that John Ross might have the Kevin White glass bones disease.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, yeah, huge bummer.
That's a shame.
Well, RIP Bengals, RIP to the AFC North.
Yeah, RIP.
All right, Noel, on to the NFC, the fun teams, the scary, terrifying NFC.
Oh, my gosh. I've been saying it all year. The NFC is terrifying. What is the line for AFC versus NFC to win the championship?
Ooh.
AFC has to be favored for show, right?
AFC? With the Ravens?
I feel like before the year, it would have been NFC.
Definitely.
But now the Ravens and Chiefs, I feel like, are the top two odds.
Are they?
I think they are, yeah.
Oh, shit. I would say, maybe Niners. I would say it's AFC probably like minus 175.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Not bad.
All right, who's first? Do you want to do NFC East?
NFC West first.
West, okay.
All right. You ready? Let's go with NFC West. Another big disappointment. LARM, the Los Angeles Rams.
All right, I feel good about this obituary. This is probably my favorite one.
Okay.
The LA Rams of 2019, 9-7, third in the West. Their obituary is, the Rams have a Super Bowl hangover, and Jared Goff is the shits.
Gross. That's very pretty good, right? I like it. Yeah, that's good.
that's all I need to say.
Hey, that's the Rams are just kind of a boring team now, which is weird to say with such an exciting young coach.
Yeah, I think they'll, I just feel like with Goff, they're just going to be in that 9-7, 10-6 range. They might make playoffs some years, but they're in probably the toughest division in the league. So I don't know what they do. That's tough.
I don't either. I think they'll be fine. They'll be back next year. Well, RIP Rams.
RIP Rams.
And Cardinals.
Cardinals. So the Cardinals are 5-10-1, fourth place in the NFC West, and overall not bad, not a bad season. So the obituary I have, so roll with me here, just roll with me for a minute.
Okay.
Here's their obituary. And so, with the sunshine and the great bursts of leaves growing on the trees, just as things grow in fast movies, I had that familiar conviction that life was beginning over again with the summer.
Okay.
Do you know what that's from?
Is that from the Shawshank Redemption?
No, it's from The Great Gatsby, Kyler Murray's favorite movie.
Ah, oh, nice.
I wanted to, you know, I know that was that's one of your favorite things about him, so I wanted to put that in there.
It's a weird personality thing.
Yeah, he's really a weird strange guy. I don't think that quote really fits. It kind of implies that there's good things on the horizon, but I just wanted to shout out.
I think Gatsby, so, too. So. I will, I'm ready to, I just, meeting my words, Kyler Murray is pretty good.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your, or are we going to talk about that later?
We can talk about it later. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, RIP to the NFC West.
Hey, RIP NFC West. You got two very good teams in the playoffs, so.
Yeah. How about that?
How about that?
Let's go to the NFC North.
NFC North.
Also only two teams. My hometown, Chicago Bears.
Your hometown, Chicago Bears. Mm. So for this one, I have written down, this season was just another year that would have been better with Mahomes or Watson.
Is that going to be their obituary every year for the next decade? Or?
I think so.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
Poor Bears.
Especially since they already committed to bringing Trubisky back for next year.
What the fuck?
And then the GM just said he just has to be more consistent. I was like, he was pretty consistently bad all year. I don't know what you're wanting from him.
When the GM said that, I was like, why the fuck would he say that? Bears, I don't know. Bring in Cam. Go get Cam.
Seriously, go get Cam.
That'd be fun as hell. I would definitely
8-8 is incredibly disappointing for this team.
I told Katie I'd get a Cam Bears jersey if he came here.
Would you?
Wear it to the games. Yeah, maybe. Or at least a jersey tee, but football jersey tees aren't the best. So.
Nah, not a big fan.
Best jerseys, worst jersey tees. Football, that is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
How about the other team, the Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions, with a tie on their docket, 3-12-1.
Ugh.
A season with the stench of Matt Patricia's beard.
And they're bringing him back.
And they're bringing him back. And he just laid off like six dudes on his coaching staff, I think. In fairness, they didn't have Matt Stafford, but would it have made a difference? Probably not.
What were they probably like? Didn't they win all three of those games in the first like 5 weeks? Weren't they like 3-1?
Oh yeah, they were a weird. They like were one 3-1
and one or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a good. So point.
I don't know, but probably not. They probably still stink. 3-12-1 is a disgusting record. I'd rather be 3-13.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, are they the second pick? Oh, Skins. Oh yeah.
R.I.P. NFC North.
R.I.P. to the NFC North. And finally, Noel, the NFC East.
The NFC East. Probably the worst division in football. Actually, in
not even probably. Definitely the worst division in football.
Worst division in football. Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with the most fun one, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys. So here's your obituary for the Dallas Cowboys. 8-8, a very mediocre season. The Dallas Cowboys, a decade of Jason Garrett, who has the same amount of playoff wins as he does first names. Which is two. Over the course of 10 years, two playoff wins ain't gonna get it done. He ain't gonna get it done. So I don't know. Like as a Skins fan, I kind of want him to stay because he sucks, but I kind of just want him to get fired. Like I've had enough of Jason Garrett in my life.
I have this note written down that if I was a beat writer for another team, like I would convince all the other like team beat writers to start doing these articles about how Jason Garrett is actually really good and the analytics support him, and then just like forward them to Jerry Jones so that he just like hires him and brings him back.
I like that. I like that. I don't understand whether I don't know if you've been watching today, but like they're like just having meeting after meeting and they haven't fired him. I don't get it.
Bill Simmons' theory that Jason Garrett just has some mad shit on Jerry Jones and that's like why he can't get fired.
We can't rule that out. That no. That could definitely be a fact.
My eyes aren't too dirty. Far apart.
He's a dirty old man. I guarantee he's got some secrets.
Yeah, he's got some
secrets. Like one night he took Jason Garrett out to a strip club or something, and things got wild. I guarantee that happened.
Yeah, I do too.
It did. It's a fact now.
It's canon.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, yeah, who else?
Let's go with the Giants. I had to remember who the teams were.
Yeah, I've been trying to act like I knew when I'm like NFC North and then trying to roll right into it. All right, the Giants, 4-12, third in the East. Four wins, two of which came against the Redskins. here's their obituary. NFC East defenses welcome Danny Dimes with open arms into the 2020s because he's going to be giving them the ball a lot. Yeah. We were watching some show this morning, and they were talking about how, like, you know, Gettleman picked this coach, and he picked this quarterback, and he went 1-for-2. I was like, are we sure? Like, Danny Dimes, I don't think he's good. I think he sucks.
I do, too. Still a lot of people. That was our big thing that week when he had the really good game against the Panthers. Everybody was like, oh, they did it. They nailed this pick. And I was like, slow the fuck down. This dude had one good game.
Honestly, I am stoked as a Skins fan. I hope they think he's good. He'd turn the ball over probably at a higher rate than any quarterback in the league, not named Jameis Winston. So welcome, Danny.
Welcome, Danny. Yeah, I would also be jacked to have him in my division for the foreseeable future, especially since it's unfortunate that the Cowboys and Eagles kind of nailed their quarterbacks. So
yeah, they did. Yeah. I feel like, and you asked the question a while ago, Dak or Wentz. I feel like they're the same. I can't decide. I'd be happy with either, to be honest.
I
agree.
I was a big Wentz guy for a while, and I am a big fan of the it takes like 2 years to come back from injury. Because he was the MVP front runner before he got hurt 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, Dak is good. They're probably the same player.
I feel like Dak with the right scheme and coaching staff could be awesome. Like, he's not the athlete that Lamar is, but he's a good runner. I mean, he can make things happen, and he's got a cannon. Like, I felt like on deep throws this year, he was awesome.
Like, Dak is definitely better than Goff, right?
Oh, yeah. I would definitely take Dak over Goff.
Right. Would you take Dak over Kirky?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Depends on the team I have, I guess. Right. I think if he's going to be asked to do more, if you can plug and play Kirky on a really talented team, I'd probably take Kirky. But if you need more, like if you need your quarterback to actually go out and win the games versus kind of keep your talent afloat, then I'd probably go with Dak. I think he's got a higher ceiling.
That's fair.
But Kirky's been awesome this year. Kirky's been really good. Monday night games.
Yeah. Not yet. not a prime time dude.
No.
All right. The final team. The Washington Redskins.
I could have gone a lot of directions here, and I decided to go this one. The Washington Redskins, 3-13 in the East, the number 2 pick in the draft. Their obituary is simply, "The night is always darkest before the dawn," because I feel like I don't know that you can hit a lower place than the Redskins have hit in the past year or two. With the organization, the franchise, and the team all combined. I mean, 3-13 is bad enough.
Right.
You know, on a team that was trying to compete this year. It's not like the Dolphins, who had a better record and weren't trying to compete this year. But just, like, all these articles come out, like, it seems like every month of, like, the culture and Dan Snyder and stuff. And it's just so, so sad to be a fan of this team. Now, the last couple days, they got Rivera. They got Jack Del Rio as D coordinator today.
Del Rio still coaches?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. They got him. And then they fired Bruce Allen, who was a horrible GM for the past however many years.
Bad.
And quotes from Rivera and out of the organization have implied that Snyder sort of looked himself in the mirror and is giving a lot more control to like Rivera and people versus himself or Bruce Allen. Which is a huge step in the right direction. So you factor in some of the young players we got. Terry McLaurin's awesome.
Terry is awesome.
We're probably going to end up with Chase Young, hopefully, or maybe we trade down and get a bunch of pieces. So I don't know. I think there's nowhere to go but up, but it's in a really bad place right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I hope you get Chase Young. Chase Young is really good. That's a good point. Yeah. I like that. I like that obituary. That's good. R.I.P. to the Skins.
R.I.P. Skins. Last division, I believe, is the NFC South.
Right.
So we'll save the best for last. So let's go with... well, actually, no. Let's go with your team, the Atlanta Falcons, the Cuns.
The Cuns. I would argue probably the second most disappointing season in the NFL.
I think you just gave that to the Rams, so you have to go third.
That's why I said second.
No, you gave Rams third? Second most. You said Browns were first and Rams were second. So I'm keeping you in check.
Damn it. Don't keep me in check. I can't be held accountable for my words.
They got to be third. Because the Rams had higher expectations.
Third most disappointing team, which makes this hard to write because it's what they're doing now that they hired Dan Quinn and he's coming back next year. Our obituary just reads, fuck it, run it back.
Ooh, yeah. I'm sure that doesn't feel good to hear.
No, it doesn't feel good. But we've talked about, this team, how it's set up could easily go like 10-6 or 11-5 next year.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, beat the Niners. I mean,
beat the Niners and the Saints. Like, beat the crap out of the Saints.
The two best teams in the NFC beat them, so wild.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. But it's just a disappointing team.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
There's always next year. How about the Carolina Panthers?
The Carolina Panthers. This is a boring team. Without Cam, I don't know how much I really care about this team at all. So this team, I just have written down that they are the white bread poster boys. There's just no flavor. This team went 5-11. The only good thing is McCaffrey.
It's so weird, yeah, because they have arguably the most exciting skill guy in the league, or, you know, top five with McCaffrey.
Right, right.
They got DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel are decently athletic, dynamic players, but just having Kyle Allen at the helm just made this team not fun. I think, well,
like, can you think of an exciting moment, like, for the Panthers all year?
The one that comes to mind is when they didn't get the 2-point against the Packers to win the game. Was an exciting moment, which failed for them. So I don't know if
that's
counts.
What I'm saying.
Exciting moment.
That's your moment of the year. That's a huge bummer.
Every run that McCaffrey broke out, but other than that, that's it. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they bring back Cam. They still got guys.
They've got guys, but I don't know. If I was a Panthers fan, I wouldn't be excited.
Probably not. Yeah. You know that every year I pick them to win the division.
I know you do. You love this team.
I love your whole division, to be honest.
Yeah,
I
like every, it's a fun division.
I like every single team in your division.
Which makes the next team so fun.
Let's go to the last pick. The last obituary of the day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers. I have written down one word and one word only. It is Jameis.
Mm.
And then 3 exclamation points. And then a question mark. And then in parentheses... but exclamation point.
That's great.
Yeah.
What else can you
say?
That's
all it is. I mean, what do you do with this guy?
Oh boy. I loved his quote.
so good.
he's like, I know what's gotta be fixed. I gotta stop throwing the ball to the other team. If I do that, I'm the best. I know I'm the best. It's like, what?
And then he just straight like looked at this guy dead in the face. He's like, look at my stats. I'm balling.
Yes.
Like, yes. Yes, you are.
Yes. Yeah.
It cannot be understated that with 2 games to go, Jameis had 24 picks and finished the season with 30 interceptions, ending the season with a pick 6. It was amazing.
If you didn't see this, like, you, if we had gone 2 weeks ago on the pod and tried to fathom the most perfect ending to the Jameis Winston season he's had, there is no possible way we could have come up with a better scenario than what actually happened.
Movies haven't written themselves this well before. Like, this 30 for 30 for 30 for 30 is going to be so good.
30 for 30 for 30 for 30. That is incredible. I can't, like, yeah, exactly. If you saw a sports movie and it ended that way, you'd be like, no way, that happens in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right. Like, it's like in, not Friday Night Lights, what? the Varsity Blues when they like win on the trick play touchdown to win the state title or whatever it is, or right. the playoff game, you're like, okay, that's how this would be. You'd feel like, okay, come on.
If by some reason you're living under a rock, Jameis Winston, who threw for 5,000 yards, he's one of like six guys to ever do that this year. Only guy that had a chance to be the only guy to throw for both 30 touchdowns and 30 picks. And he was tied going into the game for the record of pick sixes thrown with six in a season.
Right.
Got all the way to overtime. Was it the first pass or the first possession?
First possession. I think it was the second play in overtime.
Second play in overtime against Falcons. He had already thrown one pick in the already game. So he was at 29 and throws an out route, pick six, loses the game, ends the season, hits 30 picks, and sets the record for pick sixes.
What? It's beautiful.
It's unbelievable. Like, this has to be one of the most unbelievable seasons that anyone's ever had.
I would have loved to have been with a Bucks fan, just because I feel like when he throws that pick six to lose the game, they're not even mad. They just kind of nod their head. They're like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. All right. That's exactly what I thought would happen.
Yeah. Amazing. We owe a great debt to you, Jameis.
Jameis, we love you.
R.I.P. though.
It's amazing. It's a bummer that it couldn't have just been our thing. I mean, he's taken the media by storm. Everybody loves this guy now.
I feel like we were on it much earlier than everybody. But yeah, now you turn on any NFL podcast or show, they're talking about these records and Jameis. But I feel like when we were talking full Jameis, half Jameis stuff, like that was pretty early on before people really caught on. So
right. I did. Somebody brought up some of the stats we were using a few weeks ago, like on an NFL show. And I was like, hey, credit the pod.
That's right. Credit Rookie Show, please.
Rookie Show is going to scroll across the ticker on the bottom. Nobody's gonna be like, what the fuck is that?
Via at Rookie Show Pod.
What's a rookie show?
Because some guy named David has the Twitter handle at the Rookie Show. David, you, David, give us the handle. You have zero tweets.
What a waste. All right, staying on Jameis really quick though.
Yeah.
What do the Bucks do?
What was your obituary for the Falcons?
The Falcons? Fuck it, run it back.
Yup. Run that shit back. I mean,
why not?
Jameis,
do you give him a 1-year prove it deal?
Yeah, I think so. Can you do that? Are you franchise tagging, or is that too much money?
That's a lot of money.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, he kind of is right. If he can stop throwing to the other team, he's suddenly. Well, that's a big if.
It kind of feels like Bruce Arians is done with him.
Yeah, that quote he had was like. Not yeah, good. If we can win with this guy, we can win with somebody else.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So if he's not on the Bucks, who is the best team? Like, who would you want to see him on the most? I think there's only one answer.
Well, Bill Simmons brought up a good one. Is that the one you're thinking?
Yeah.
I think it is the right answer. It is the LA Chargers would be an incredible successor to Phil Rivers.
I was
going to
say, he's the perfect. The passing of the, or an interception thrown from Phil to Jameis as like the symbolic passing of the torch for the team would be amazing.
Yeah, they have a lot in common. I feel like he's like Phil Rivers on steroids. The black Phil Rivers on steroids.
Yes.
So I would love to see that. Do you have any other teams in mind, or that's the
That's the number one. The only, I guess if you want to keep him in the state, he could be a good Jaguar.
He would be a good Jag. That's true.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Like,
how about this?
I could see them. What about, do NFL teams do sign and trades? Like, what if they just flipped Foles and Jameis?
Oh, I could see that. Yeah. Does anyone believe in Foles still?
Like, or if you did Foles and, like, a second round pick for Jameis?
I could see it.
That's not bad.
That
right?
Doesn't. I'm thinking about those two teams after the trade, and neither of them excite me very much.
No, not at all.
Let's roll
the
with
Jaguars,
me on this one.
Though?
Roll with me on this one for a second.
Okay, okay.
Tom Brady might be giving it up here in a minute. What if Belichick just wanted to give a big middle finger to everybody and be
oh
like,
oh my God.
Put Jameis on my team.
I think that Gronk would come out of retirement for that.
Oh my gosh. Put Jameis on my team. Maybe draft a wide. Yeah, bring Gronk back. How fun would that be?
Jesus Christ. I can't imagine Belichick with Jameis.
No, it wouldn't work.
No. That would be fun, though.
That's a half-baked idea. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who else really. Like, there's surprisingly not many teams that are looking for a quarterback right now.
No, I know.
And the teams that are probably going to draft one because there's at least two or three very solid quarterback picks in the draft this year.
Right.
So who wants him? I don't know.
It's tough. I don't know either. I think that the Panthers would be fun.
What if they swap Cam and Jameis?
Could you put?
Who says no?
Would you want to put Cam in the same division as you? I would say the Panthers probably say no.
You think the Panthers are like, well, if they're giving up on him, then they don't believe in him.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I remember when the Eagles traded McNabb to the Redskins, and everyone was like, yeah, if they're doing that, he probably sucks now. And he did.
Yeah. He did.
Oh, man. Jameis.
Oh, Jameis. All right. Well, let's do, now that we've recapped the teams, do you want to go over how we did for the season?
I do. I know everybody cares a lot about our bets, and
yeah, they do.
I think people like to hear when we win or lose.
I do too.
They don't take our advice, but they do for sure.
You had more season long prop bets predictions. I'll let you go.
Yes, I made a handful of props to start the year, which had varied success. I will say, just on the weekly bets that we made every week, I spent over $2,200 on those. Pretty good amount of money.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, divided by 16 weeks, so that's, or 17 weeks, so that's a little over $100
a
week.
That's a good point.
That's a pretty good amount of money. And I made $20 plus 20 on the year. So we will take it.
Return on investment and effort and time seems, I don't know how that math works out, if that's worth it.
But if I enjoyed it, then you can't put a price on that.
Right. It's like a hobby. Like, some guys tinker with ships and bottles or fly kites if you're weird as fuck. We bet.
We bet.
Do people fly kites as a hobby? Is that a thing?
Yeah, weirdos.
Right.
People that don't have any friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, go on with the Borofil. All
right. The first bet that I want to talk about is I had the Miami Dolphins under 4.5 wins on the season, which I felt was a lock. Go back and listen to our pod from the beginning of the year, and you'll hear the explanation why. They had 4 wins going into this week against the Patriots. The Patriots were favored by 17.5 points. Only once in the history of the NFL has a team won a game when they were 17.5 point underdogs. One time in the history of the league. Nobody's ever, there's never been a bigger upset. Of course, it happened. Ryan Fitzmagic pulls it off.
Right.
And not only that, but the Pats had the lead with 4 minutes left, and their vaunted historic defense couldn't even hold Ryan Fitzpatrick out of the end zone. It was definitely the worst gambling loss of my gambling career. It's probably like a $200 swing because I had a $50 bet on their under, which is very rare for me to bet that much on a bet. It's usually a $20 bet.
Right.
And then we had a bunch of parlays that every other team hit, and the Dolphins managed to screw us over with the Patriots not hitting. So that was a brutal loss.
It's amazing that this team ended up winning 5 games after, through what, 5 weeks? Everybody had all but coronated this team the worst team ever.
Yeah. Seriously. I think they were 0-7 to start the year. They were 3-11 going into the last 2 weeks, so they had to win both of those. And they went to overtime against the Bengals. But, yeah, that's probably the biggest point. Is like, this team was trying to tank, and somehow they won 5 games. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. That did not make sense.
Players were begging to be traded off the team.
Yeah. It's
people couldn't
ridiculous.
Stand to lose by 20 every single week. Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but I think I might make a new rule of never betting against Fitzmagic.
That's not a bad rule. Anybody who wears an open tracksuit like he does, you gotta just give it to him.
Yeah. So I lost that one, but a couple winners. I had Chiefs over 10.5 wins. That was easy money. They went 12-4. Mahomes got hurt and missed a couple games too, but didn't matter. Had the Giants under 5 wins at 2-1 odds. That's a pretty good win. Okay. And 2 of their 4 wins were against the Skins. So they were horrible. I think you agreed with me on
that. They were really bad. Yeah, I was really into the Giants being really shitty at the beginning of the year, and I'm pretty bummed I didn't jump in on that with you. So good call by you.
Thanks. Good call by me. We'll skip over the fact that I had the Skins over 6.5 wins. let's just ignore that one. That was just a fun bet. One. I knew that wasn't going to happen deep in my soul. So don't. Player props definitely got hosed on these ones. So I had Matt Stafford over 4,040 yards. That's what the line was set at. So for some context, right. The last 8 years before this year, Stafford started every single game, all 16 games for 8 straight years. So he's durable. So I think I said on our podcast, like, this is just a bet on his durability, because over those 8 years, he averaged 4,466 yards. So literally 400 more than this line on average.
Right.
And only one time in his entire career did he have less than this line of 4,040. So it was guaranteed, right? And through 8 games this year, he was on pace for 5,000 yards. He was balling out.
Yeah.
Then he tweaks his back, and they go, oh, yeah, he's going to miss this week. Turns out he missed the whole damn season. I mean, he could have missed probably 2 games and still hit his over-under. So that was a brutal.
You think
loss.
That if they were in contention whatsoever, that he would have came back?
Maybe it's possible, but I feel like I heard different things. Like, some people just said, like,
this I was gonna is say, you really said tweaked serious. His back. Didn't he break his back?
Maybe it's possible.
I'm pretty sure his spine was like broken.
Well, I think what I meant by that was, like, when they first came out with the report, it sounded minor. They tried to say like, he's kind of got a hurt back, but then I think it later came out like, it's broke. It's broke, dude.
Well, as Deist would say, don't say tweak. I hate tweak. You're either hurt or you're not.
Yeah, the T word. He doesn't like the T word. So
he doesn't like the T word.
The next one was a big winner, which was Leonard Fournette over 1,000 yards. That was easy money. The first 3 games of the year, I think he was horrible. He had like 30 yards a game. I was looking bad, but then he turned it on.
It was really bad.
He went over 1,000 in 13 games. He didn't even play the last game, and it was easy money, so that was a good bet.
Bolstered, but he had that one like 240 yard week, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that kicked it off, and we talked about that. I was sweet. Like, that helped my bet a lot.
Yeah.
I had Drew Brees over 30.5 touchdowns for the season. This is the exact same thing as Stafford. The past 10 years, he has started 16 games 7 times, and he started 15 games 3 times. So he's literally missed 3 games in a decade. So he never gets hurt, right? So I said on our pod, this is a bet on his health. On average, over that decade, the amount of TDs he threw was 35, just on average. And only one time did he go under 32. One time he went under 32. So 30.5 is guaranteed easy money. Of course he gets hurt. Yeah. He only plays 11 games this year, and he threw 27. So literally he needed 4 more. He almost hit it in 11 games. He was on pace for basically 40. So what the hell? Drew Brees and Stafford are the only bets I made on quarterbacks. Oh, actually, there's another one coming up. And they never get hurt, and they got hurt.
It's so weird. That it feels like it's right in that, like, people talk about the Vegas zone. Like, it's like they knew.
Yeah, it's like so weird.
Those numbers seem so low that they, like, it's like they knew that they were going to get hurt.
It makes no sense. I don't get it, but I agree. Also had a bet that you talked me into, which was that the Chargers would be the last undefeated team in the league at 14-1. I put a nice little $5 on that. Let's move on from that one. That was not good.
Yeah, I have that coming up for later. That was really bad. I was really bullish on the Chargers being good.
Yeah, I did too. We both were. So, one of my favorite bets was Mark Ingram to lead the league in rushing touchdowns, which was 65-1. I just thought that was crazy odds, and I still stand by it. He started hot. He ended with 10 rushing touchdowns, which was 7th in the league. He lost by 6 touchdowns to Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones, but he was number 4 in the league in total touchdowns, and only lost out by 4 to McCaffrey. I didn't really anticipate him getting receiving scores, so... That was different, but no regrets. It was a fun bet to root for at 65-1. So
there was a hot minute there where it really seemed like you were a genius. So
yeah, but I'm not. So
kind of pulled that one out of thin air.
Two more. The easiest bet I made all year was Lamar Jackson over 860 rush yards. I know in hindsight that seems way too low, but that's a lot for a quarterback. He went for 1,200, and he only played 15 games. Like, what the hell?
That's more.
That's more. He hit the over in 11 games. I know one thing that, like, Bill Simmons has talked about. I think his pass touchdown over-under mark was, like, 15. Like, literally, you could have bet him over 15 touchdowns. He threw for 36. Like,
that's insane. 36? So, I didn't know that.
He led the league, I think. Oh, God. Jesus in 15 Christ. Games. So, yeah, any bet you made on Lamar would have been a good bet.
Smash the over on Lamar, you're doing good.
Oh, my God. If you just – I don't think you can parlay those, but if you just bet all of Lamar's overs, you would have been money. My last bet, again,
money,
was a quarterback bet. It was Nick Foles over 20.5 touchdowns. Another guy who got hurt first game of the year. In his career – he averages about 1.5 touchdowns every time he starts a game, so that prorates to like 22 touchdowns in a season. So it seemed reasonable. And this is the first year that he's ever been like the guy in a spot and played a whole season. So, of course, he broke his collarbone in the first game. Gardner came in, threw 21 touchdowns. Foles had 3 himself.
Did Gardner throw 21 this year?
Gardner threw 21, yeah. That's pretty damn good.
That's pretty badass.
So there you go. I had Foles, Stafford, and Breeze as the 3 quarterbacks I bet their overs. All 3 got significantly hurt. So maybe I'm a curse. I don't know.
I was going to say, it seems like if I was you, I would bet on Dak and Wentz next year.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, and maybe they'll both get hurt. Hate to cheer for injuries, but I don't. I think that you don't bet on Danny Dimes because you want him to play.
Oh, good point. I like that. You're right.
Yeah, you want him throwing picks to your team.
For sure.
I only made one bet for a prop. I'm not a huge season-long prop bet fan. I'm more of an immediacy return guy. I like to see the money right away.
Yeah.
But I did bet on Kyler Murray to go under. I was hashing out a lot of Kyler Murray slander to begin the year. And, you know, I was wrong. He went over. His total passing yard number was 3595, right?
I think so, yeah.
3495, something like that. He ended the season with just over 3700, so
it was close. Fine. He needed the last game to get there.
Yeah, he did. And it looked like for a second that he was going to be hurt. I had psyched myself up a little bit. I had talked myself into him maybe not playing and that I was going to win. After it seemed like 2 weeks into the season, it seemed like a lock that I had lost. So,
yeah, he tailed off a little bit. The first couple of weeks, though, he's throwing for 300. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, God, he's going to pass for 4,500 yards.
Yeah.
That's not bad. So now that we've done those, I do want to do a quick, what you like to call, you deemed the 2020 hindsight.
Yes.
Little, play on words for everybody.
Yeah. We're the only ones to ever think of something with that, with 2020.
Nobody has ever thought of that before.
Nobody has. Chalk it up.
So what we did a season preview pod that first week. What was your worst take? Or what were your worst takes?
Definitely my worst.
Or what have been your worst takes of the year?
Yeah, in hindsight, probably betting. Not betting, but predicting the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl was a dumb bet, just because it's a volatile team and they had a lot of wins last year and they were due to just kind of crap the bed. So that's probably the worst. And then I stand by picking the Panthers to win the division because Cam getting hurt kind of changed all that, but. Probably in hindsight, the Saints are good, and the Falcons and Bucks are no slouches. So probably wasn't the smartest pick either. What was your worst?
Right, I think that collectively ours together would be, along with many people, predicting the Browns to be super good.
Mm.
That's unfortunate.
Oh yeah, I actually forgot about that. Good. Yeah, you're right.
I think you had them winning like 12 games or something, didn't you?
Oh, I definitely did. Yeah, for sure. I think I had them getting a bye in the AFC.
So that didn't happen.
No.
And then we doubled down and bet on them mid-season to make the playoffs, and they lost to the Bengals. So
so bad. You know, and it actually just occurred to me that two teams that we – I don't know. Did you pick the Ravens to miss playoffs?
No, I had the Ravens making the playoffs.
Okay, so you got that over me. I did not have them making the playoffs, and we both were way down on the Seahawks. That was a bad bet.
We were sitting on the Seahawks all year, and that team like had a chance to get the one seed up until 2 weeks left. So,
yeah, sorry.
That being said, I'm still not high on the Seahawks.
They're gonna show their true colors in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're coming. You'll all see. The other one was the Chargers. I did say on it was recorded me saying that I thought the Chargers were going to start 7-0. So
yeah,
that was good. True. And then also I said that Antonio Brown would have like 14 receiving touchdowns on the Raiders. So
oh yeah, he didn't that's play right. For them. That's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Good by me.
I had a few things that I feel like now with the hindsight we have, we should have realized we should have bet on. So number one was mainly our guy Jameis, because last year with head coach Dirk Koetter, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis kind of split the duties at quarterback, and combined they threw for 5,350 yards last year. If you combine their stats, incredible. Which now Fitzpatrick's gone, and you bring in Arians, who's known for throwing deep, and you've got two of the best receivers in the league. We should have absolutely bet on Jameis to lead the league in passing yards, and it should have been a no-brainer, but we just weren't thinking ahead. So that's some good hindsight. Also with the interceptions, because Jameis, the league leader last year, by the way, in interceptions was Big Ben with 16. Do you realize that Jameis?
What?
Yeah, Jameis threw 30 this year.
That's incredible.
But Jameis also threw 14 last year, and that was just in 11 games. He only played in 11 games. So again, we should have been betting Jameis. He probably was the odds-on favorite.
That is a big one. Was he the favorite? I think I was hyping up Darnold to lead the league in interceptions.
Oh, yeah. So, I think you're right.
Glad I didn't get him there.
Yeah. No, I'm guessing he was up there.
Jameis is the obvious pick.
Yeah, exactly. The other one was we both felt like Christian McCaffrey should have been the top fantasy running back. So probably would have been smart for us to bet his overs on his prop bets. I mean, we both knew he was going to ball out and just missed the opportunity.
I predicted that he would break the yardage record. He didn't quite get there, but he had a chance on the last game.
Yeah.
That was on my good predictions.
Okay. What else do you got?
Best takes.
That's all I got for
that one and Saquon getting hurt. I did predict Saquon getting hurt.
Okay. Yeah. That's
That's all I really got. I actually didn't say very many smart things throughout the year.
That's all right. You said some funny things.
Hey, thanks, man.
That we're able to make fun of you for,
Hey. Well, Noel, it's time for everybody's favorite game.
It's my favorite game.
Stumptown!
Hell yeah.
Stumptown.
Hell yeah.
The game named after the shitty show starring Kobe Smulders.
That's right.
Her name is hard to spell, or hard to say.
Kobe. Fuck Kobe you for having Smulders such a dumb name, Colby. All right, you trying to stump me this week?
This is a short and sweet one. I'm going to test your knowledge of some early or late aughts college teams.
College teams?
Late aughts. That's what you call like the 2000s.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, you learn something new every day.
There you go. All right, try to stump me.
All right, so for the first time since the 2009-2010 season, the Patriots do not have a first-round bye, which is incredible.
That is incredible.
That 2009 draft saw three linebackers taken in the first two rounds from USC. Name the three linebackers and which one won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
All right. It is Clay Matthews, Brian Cushing, and Ray Maluga.
Yep.
Yes.
Which one won Defensive Rookie of the Year? Well, you have to get which one won the Defensive Rookie of the Year, though.
Who did? I guess it had to have been... I'm going to go with Clay.
No!
Oh,
it's Cushing.
I got stumped for the first time.
Yeah,
stumped.
I had to throw that wrinkle in there. I was pretty sure you would get the three, but I was actually surprised when I saw that Cushing was the one that won Rookie of the Year.
As was I. Rookie of the Year. Good. That's a great Stumptown. Fantastic Stumptown.
Yeah.
Well done.
Cushing was the, I think, eighth overall pick, but he wasn't even the first USC player drafted because Mark Sanchez was drafted fifth.
Oh, gross. That's horrible.
Yeah. So 2020 hindsight, maybe a bad pick.
He's like weird looking. Like he's on TV now, and I'm like, I don't want to look at him. I don't like his face.
He's got this weird like plastic face Ken doll thing kind of going on.
Yeah, and he kind of looks like a rodent.
Yeah, he does kind of look like a rodent. We do have an angle from the outfield this week, Noel.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Avid listener and friend of the pod, Riley Kurtz, said that for me to beat the pistachio record, I should just accept that I'm going to destroy my innards and then just eat the pistachios whole. Like, eat the shells of the pistachios.
Oh. See, actually, I didn't even realize that he was saying it eating. I thought he was just saying you crack it and swallow the nut hole. But you're saying you swallow the shell, too?
I thought that's what he was saying, too. But he was like, no, just eat the whole pistachio.
Oh. Is that, which does that disqualify like you from cheating. The record? Because I thought the whole point is you had to crack and eat them. Isn't that the part of
the
record?
Yeah, the whole point is you have to crack. And that's what he said, right? He wants us to eat them whole.
Well, how about this? You set a new record for most whole pistachios swallowed with the shells on in a minute. That'd be a good record.
You could, there's like so many like things like that you could set out there. Most glass eaten. Like, nobody wants to break your record. You're like, yeah, I got this one for life.
Most times.
I ate a pound of glass in a half hour.
Most times touching an electric fence in 3 hours.
Longest shock sent through pee by electric fence.
Oh, no thanks. All right, that's a good angle.
Well, that was a good angle from the outfield. Thanks, Riley. How about, Noel, how about we do a little playoff preview now?
A little playoff. Four games this weekend, wild card weekend. Exciting.
Four games, yeah. We'll run through these quick because this has been kind of a long one.
It has. All right, you want me to go first, tell you what I like? We're just going to pick all the games?
Sure, let's pick the games. Or bets. So first game is Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. Texans favored by 3.
I have kind of hated on the Bills a little bit this year, and I know they're good. They probably overall are a better team than Houston, but I'm going to take the better quarterback at home. I'm going to take the Texans. I prefer to parlay their money line than bet them -3, but if I had a gun to my head, I'm taking Texans -3.
Gun to your head, I'm taking Buffalo Bills +3.
And I don't hate
Not gun to my head.
Do you think they win or just cover?
I think that the Bills win. Okay. Houston has been really spotty. They haven't looked that great lately, yeah. And there's no Will Fuller still. Their offense looks really weird without Will Fuller.
That's true. I can't dispute that. So okay, split so far.
Yeah. Split. All right, moving on to the next game. Tennessee Titans at the New England Patriots playing in the first round for the first time since 2010.
All right. It's funny because there are people on TV saying you shouldn't take the Patriots just like the view of the Patriots for the past decade is that they're awesome and you can't let that warp the reality that this team is good. And you have to realize that this team's just not very good. But you also kind of have to realize that you can't just take Ryan Tannehill as being an awesome quarterback because he's had one great year, that he's going to do that in New England. I think that crazy upset loss to Miami shifted this line by 4 or 5 points. I mean, I honestly think if New England takes care of business and doesn't lose that huge upset, they're probably 7-8 point favorites at home against Tennessee. So I don't want to bet this game either, really, but I'm not betting against Brady and Belichick at home against effing Ryan Tannehill, so I probably take Pats -4.5.
Right. I very reluctantly am going to... I'm doing this weird. What I would like to do, I think, is I think I would bet the Titans, but I would also like to bet on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The Patriots are 11-1 right now, and I mean... I wouldn't be that shocked if they just ran through the playoffs. So,
yeah.
No,
I don't know. I don't see it. But I guess you shouldn't.
I'm workshopping some things. I don't think that they're a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you're taking Tennessee
next. I think I like Tennessee +4.5. I would move it up to like 10. I would like to tease.
Okay. I don't mind that. So we're split again.
I think if I tease the Bills and the Titans, I would do that.
I would like to tease the other two teams. Maybe we can middle it.
Yeah. Well, you can do that.
All right.
All right, moving on to the NFC games. Vikings at Saints. Saints favored by 8 at home.
Great game. 8's a lot of points, but the Saints are awesome. I feel like if I, again, had the same gun to my head, I might pick the Saints to win the Super Bowl. We may make these.
What if it was a different gun?
In a minute, so you'll have to see. If it's a different gun, I might change my pick. Okay. I'm going to take Saints minus 8 because at home, Drew Brees been there before versus Kirk Cousins. Ew. I think they win by double digits probably.
I think you said it all when you said Kirk Cousins. Ew. I agree with Saints minus 8.
All right, good.
All right, next one. Hawks at the Eagles in Philly. 2.5-point road doggies, or home doggies, the Eagles are.
Home doggies. This has all the makings of that game that nobody believes the Eagles can win, and then they go out and win. That right. said, I'm not going to bet against Russell Wilson. I'm not going to bet on a team that is just totally devastated with injuries that would not have made the playoffs in any other division. I wouldn't be totally shocked if they upset the Seahawks, but I'm taking Hawks. What is it? 2.5? Minus 2.5?
2.5, yeah.
I'm going to take that. Again, most of these games, I'd prefer to go money line, so I might just do money line parlay, but because I think it's close. All this, the Hawks just play close games every week, so but I take the Hawks.
Yeah, I just have Hawks. I don't overthink it. I think that the Hawks are a better team, and the Eagles haven't been good in like 5 weeks, so.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, Noel, last thing is third gun to your head, Saints, or you said Saints already for your Super Bowl pick?
I'm going to go with Saints over Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That is my pick. I picked the Saints at the start of the year, so I'm kind of just rolling with them. I also kind of, like I told you, this bet I might make, which is you can essentially get, if you bet on the Chiefs, Ravens, and Saints all to win the Super Bowl, you can essentially get them versus the field for like minus 180. So I'm thinking about throwing, you know, $100, and then if any of those teams win the Super Bowl, I make 50. So I feel like those are the three that can win it to me. Who do you like?
I like that. That's not bad. I also have, so if I'm holding like 14 guns at this point, I also have the Saints over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Wow, all right. We agree. So we don't agree on any of the first round games, but we agree on, well, the two of them anyway. So
we agree on
good.
The Saints.
All right, yeah. Saints versus Chiefs. Interesting. I don't know what to think of the two top seeds in the NFC, and I don't like anybody below the Chiefs or Ravens. So there it is. That's our picks.
Yeah, there it
so
is.
So it's the official, you know, rookie the show playoffs? Stance. What's great about the playoffs?
No basilisk games anymore.
They're all good. Well, sometimes the first round they had a basilisk, but not this
That's
year.
True. That I remember watch them all. 2 or 3 years ago when the Texans played the Raiders in the first round and it was like Matt McGloin versus, I don't even know who the other quarterback was.
It was T.J. Yates.
Oh, God.
What a matchup. What a matchup.
Put a 15th gun to my head and just pull the trigger.
Please, put more guns to my head.
All right. Happy 2020, everybody. Play us out, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, play us out, boss.
Laters.
See ya.